Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton, ready with inspirational stories for this week. Our preview starts with Juliana Smoke.
Thanks, Rod. Today we're going to get an update on how the children in Appalachia were impacted by the backpacks they received this past Christmas.
I'm John Graham, and Todd Hoffman from Discovery Channel's number one show, Gold Rush, joins us again today to tell us what God has been doing in his life on The Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll talk with a church-starting missionary who is in a difficult place to minister. And he says it's like being dropped in by parachute behind enemy lines.
I'm Myrna Brown, the lost works of Fanny Crosby. We're talking to the man who says God used him to get it done.
Also today, we head to Phoenix, Arizona to hear about the launch of Wellspring Church on our Missionary Moments. That's this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Over 30,000 backpacks were collected by Georgia Baptist near the end of 2015 and are now being distributed to children in the Appalachia area. With more, here's Juliana Smoke on Life with Purpose Radio.
Over the past few years, Georgia Baptists have been collecting backpacks full of toys, clothes, food, and Bible stories for children in Appalachia. This past Christmas, Georgia Baptists surpassed their goal of 25,000 backpacks and collected 30,224. Dr. Dwayne Boudreaux is the associational missionary for the Augusta Association of Baptist Churches, which helped to collect them and lead a team that distributed over 1,000 backpacks in West Virginia. And he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio to provide an update. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Now, when we last spoke, Georgia Baptist had a state goal of 25,000, which they surpassed. And out of that number, your ministry planned on collecting 1,000 backpacks. What was your final number?
We planned on collecting, as an association, 550. And then we had another partner that was working with us, and we were planning on collecting 1,000. But in God's providence, he brought in two more associations and then another association. So we ended up with five associations here in Georgia for a grand total of 1,806 backpacks.
Wow.
Cooperation at its best.
Wow. And not only did you help to collect the backpacks, but you had the opportunity to facilitate distributing them to West Virginia. How did you pull off handling that many backpacks?
Well, it was really a cooperative effort. We had multiple teams going to different locations, and someone loaned us a large trailer and didn't charge us, a local commercial man, and it was absolutely phenomenal. We ended up going to 9 different locations.
Wow. Wow. And how did you see the Lord use the backpacks in the lives of those in Appalachia?
Well, the thing about it is, it's an opening for the gospel. And like I shared with you last time, there is the true Christmas story inside the backpack. Plus, at each different locations, we have different events. We actually do a gospel presentation. I had the opportunity to share the Evangie Cube, and it's a picture story of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the children and give the children an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
Wow. Wow. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, ma'am. Ultimately, the backpack is a sign of love and a show of love, but ultimately it's a door opening to the gospel. Here's how God works. You know, we always talk about divine appointments. We had a team that was assembled, and we was now distributed in one location. Well, a pastor in another location talked to us, would it be possible to go up to his location? And I looked at my team and I said, listen, we always talk about flexibility on mission trips. Let's do this thing. We prayed about it briefly and said, yeah, we can do this. So we went to High Knob Church in the highest point in Braxton, West Virginia. And he invited some children. Listen, this is one of the places you got to be. Go on there to get there. And 19 children showed up. And we shared the gospel with those 19 children using the Evangie Cube. And 5 children got saved out of the 19. It's just God's providence the way he does those things on a mission trip.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's amazing. And I know Christmas is a year from now, but to pull off something like this, you're already making plans for next year.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We now have a volunteer. His name is Johnny Mack, a local minister in one of our local churches. We're going to assign him lead on this. And we're going to begin in January, already doing follow-up for this summer, with those 9 locations and find out who needs help with Vacation Bible School, to where we can go up there more than just backpacks, but build relationships and build networks and ultimately partnerships with those locations. So yes, ma'am, we already got a plan of action in place for follow-up.
Well, I'm excited to see what the Lord does next year.
Who knows? We've seen him do it from one year to the next. It's no telling what he'll do next year.
We've been speaking with Dr. Dwayne Boudreau, Associational Missionary for the Augusta Association of Baptist Churches. Thank you for joining us today and updating us on how the children saw the love of Jesus through these backpacks.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for your concern for the children of Appalachia.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Now, I know I don't have much experience, but I'm very responsible. Plus, I'm excited about the company. Well, the on-the-job training is great, and the benefits are fantastic. So, what do you think? Oh, did I mention I'm a people person? I'm also willing to work nights and weekends. Great. Can I start today? Okay, then. Well, let's shake on it.
Parenting. It's one career worth working for. This message brought to you by Southern Baptists.
Now, about that vacation policy.
Thanks for being a part of Life with Purpose Radio each week on this great station. Todd Hoffman from the Discovery Channel's reality show, Gold Rush, recently spent some time with John Graham to talk about the program and his faith story on today's Culture Connection.
Discovery Channel's number one reality show is Gold Rush, and to many, their number one team is 316 Mining and its leader, Todd Hoffman. He's back for season six that just started a couple weeks ago, and he joins us today on the Culture Connection. Todd, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely. And it would be good for our listeners if we could just briefly, maybe kind of the biggest reason you're a part of this program today is you have such a strong faith in Christ that shows up in the show a lot. Can you give our listeners just a quick recap of how you came to faith in Christ?
You know what? My parents took me to church as a young man, but I think about my sophomore year, I got real serious about my faith, and you know that's when I had to start really putting my faith into action. Or was it my parents' faith is my faith, you know? And there's nothing more challenging than to try to be in a reality TV show and gold mining, which is another difficult thing, and to try to represent your faith, you know, the way in which it needs to be represented. It's tough.
Well, I can imagine so. I mean, you're facing all the same challenges and frustrations that everybody else, and I imagine at times you just have to stop yourself and remind yourself, oh, yeah, America knows I'm a Christian.
Yeah. It's not easy. I mean, they catch you in situations. You're just like anybody else, you know. The reason why I have, you know, faith in Jesus is because I know I need a Savior. It's not because I'm good. It's because I know I'm not good. Mm. People need to keep reminding themselves of that, because there's a lot of guys out there that aren't going to grace the doors of your church. How do you reach them? You know, they're at your work. They're everywhere. The key is to let people know that you're imperfect, and that what we do with our sin and how we deal with our sin is what's important. You know, for us, we deal with our sin is by asking Christ into our heart. He's interceding between us and God. So that's what we're doing with our sin. And the guys that, you know, the guys that you're working with, or the guys, you know, in your neighborhood, they need a Savior. Their sin's still on their head. They need Christ. They need Christ in their heart. So, you know, sometimes you can reach people by letting them know your weaknesses, not just trying to act like you're a perfect Christian, you know?
Absolutely. And discipleship and evangelism is important to you. As I've just learned, you're starting a Young Life chapter up in your part of the woods there in Oregon.
Yeah, we did. We started a chapter in Sandy to deal with Sandy High School, which is outside of Portland. And we got Danny Myers. He's our leader. We have about 40 to 50 kids every Monday night that meet at my dad's house. And it's just been a blessing, man. I don't know. It seems to be really working. We've had, I think, 6 kids come to know Jesus since it started. And we're just plugging away, you know.
That's fantastic.
Week by week.
That is awesome. Now, this season, we've got a few surprises. We have a new team member. Your son, Hunter, has jumped in. Is that right?
Yeah, my son, Hunter, he's 16 years old. He's been with us the whole time. This year, they're kind of making him, they're filming him a little bit more. And, you know, he's jumping in. And I said, you know, here's the deal. You have a whole other generation of people you can reach for Christ. Are you going to, you know, how how are you going to reach them? You know, and this is one way to do it, is to use Gold Rush as a tool.
Help us understand one little mystery here. Does everything that we're about to see over the next season, it's already happened, right?
Yes, it's already happened. This is the best Gold Rush season of all of them, I'm telling you. And if you haven't, you've got two episodes down. You can go catch back up, get back on board. Friday nights, we basically run Friday nights for men. It is, this season, what happens is some crazy stuff happens. So you're in for a real treat. This is one of the best, you know, out of the six seasons, this is one of the best Gold Rush seasons that we've ever filmed.
Season 6 of Gold Rush is underway, so be sure you set your DVRs and catch up and catch every Friday night. Todd, thanks for being with us.
Hey, no problem. You know, if you're struggling in your faith out there, just to, you know, buckle down, get back in the Word, get back into prayer, get the right people around you. Don't lose hope, you guys, so just be encouraged in that. Thank you.
All right, until next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives of purpose and caring Christians around the world. And we hope our stories encourage you to live your life with purpose. Hey, this would be a great time to take just a moment, if you can, and connect with us here in Life with Purpose Radio. Our email address is always available, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. One more time, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com for your comments or questions about the program or story suggestions. Our online community is available, too, at facebook.com/LWP Radio. Or maybe follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is @LWP Radio. And once again, we have a free book for you. It's The Coffee Shop That Changed a Church from best-selling author Steve Parr. And it's easy to get. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. One more time, for that free book, go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Just a small way of saying thank you for being a listener. Well, now on with this week's story. So, Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. Coming up, a divine discovery. The lost works of Fanny Crosby. We're talking to the man who says God used him to get it done.
Also on the way, we hear from church planner Chris Stahl about the launch of Wellspring Church in Phoenix, Arizona as a part of Send North America. That's on our Missionary Moment. Right now, let's go to Ron Lawson. He's in the Life with Purpose radio studio with a story of parachuting in.
Thanks, Rod. Many times when God calls individuals and families to go to the mission field, it's usually not an easy situation. In fact, it can often be very difficult. Dr. J. Robert White, executive director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a North American missionary who is in a very difficult place to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased today to be on the phone with Travis Kearns, who is a Send North America City Coordinator for the Southern Baptist North American Mission Board, serving in Salt Lake City, Utah. Travis, we know that you're serving there with Stacy and with your son Jeremiah, and you're starting churches in the Salt Lake area. We just want to thank you for that, and thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you for having me, Dr. White. I appreciate it very much.
You know, Salt Lake City is a unique place for a Southern Baptist missionary, it seems, to many. Please tell our audience about the city and why Southern Baptists are there to start churches.
Salt Lake City is one of the largest cities, in fact, the second largest city in the Intermountain West. There are three major metropolitan areas, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, and Boise, Idaho. Salt Lake City is, by all counts and estimations, the most lost non-Christian city in the United States. We're 98% lost. Salt Lake is 70% counted as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Mm-hmm. Another 28% are just secular, lost, and hate everything about religion. One of the neatest things about Salt Lake, though, is because of the heavy religious influence in Salt Lake, has the lowest crime rates of any major metropolitan area, and Utah's a state has the lowest crime rates of any state in the United States. So it's very religious, it's very family-oriented, very friendly. But at the same time, again, as I said, it's 98% lost, so it is extremely, an extremely, extremely dark place.
I know you have, you've had many experiences in ministry, and most recently you were a professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, but God called you to Salt Lake City. Can you tell our listeners about your call to this ministry?
Absolutely. In January of 1996, when I was in college, my freshman year, I took a course in minority religions in America and new religious movements. And the first group we studied was the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. And I just, something in me just clicked, and I just fell in love with the people of that faith group, with their history, with their doctrine, and not fell in love with them in a sense of wanting to become a Mormon, but just to study what they believe in order to be able to share Jesus with them. So over the course of the last 19 years, all I've done is study Mormonism. So moving to Salt Lake City for us has been the culmination of almost now 20 years of ministry preparation. And for Stacy and I, it's really been the neatest thing we have ever done. So living in Salt Lake City for us, again, it's just the culmination of a lot of study and a lot of preparation work that the Holy Spirit's done both in my life and in my wife's life and in our son's life as well. And it's just been an amazing place to be and do ministry.
That's wonderful. And we thank you for your commitment to it and your call from God to be there. I'm sure that reaching people of the Mormon faith has been very challenging at best. I wondered if you could tell us about an individual or family that has come to a wonderful saving knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Could you share a specific story?
Absolutely. We have a couple in the church plant that we're part of. Their names are Shane and Dixie. Shane and Dixie both grew up in Idaho. Shane and Blackfoot, Dixie and Idaho Falls, both grew up in the Mormon church, both in almost 40 years. In fact, one of them a little bit more than 40 years. And last summer, our church plant was hosting a block party in a local neighborhood park. And Shane and Dixie brought their kids, and they were sitting underneath the tree in the shade. They called some of us over to talk to them, and Dixie looked at me and she said, "I need two questions answered. I need to know why you don't believe in temples, and I need to know why you no longer believe in the need for revelation and the need for a priesthood." And I told her that our bodies are the temple, that when Jesus came, he changed all the necessity for a temple as a particular building, and that we have a priest, that his name is Jesus. He's our final prophet, priest, and king. And Shane and Dixie looked at me and said, "That's it. We're good. We're out. What's next?" And about two, 3 months later, through counseling with them, and this was the end of a seven-year process for them, counseling with them, they came to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We baptized them in October, and Shane and Dixie and their two kids have become some of the greatest workers we have ever seen, I've ever seen, in almost two decades of church work.
Wow.
And these folks are there not just when the doors are open, but they're there to open the doors and are always happy and smiling. And the change in them has just literally been a change from death to life, from night to day.
Mm.
They're an amazing couple, and Jesus has just done a marvelous work in their life.
That's such an incredible story, and how inspiring that is. Thank you, Travis, for sharing that with us. I know our listeners want to be praying for you and Stacy as you all serve the Lord there in Salt Lake City and in that area and planting Southern Baptist churches. How can we pray for you?
I tell you, the biggest prayer concern we have is prayer covering for spiritual warfare. Growing up in Greenville, South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
you really don't talk much about spiritual warfare. You don't think much about it. But when you go to the mission field, you're just hit with it every moment of every day. And we've seen some really strange things happen. So prayer covering from our faithful brothers and sisters in Christ just makes all the difference in the world for us to cover us from attacks from the enemy, because we have nearly literally parachuted into the middle of an enemy camp. So they're shooting at us from all sides. So prayer covering for spiritual warfare is our number one concern. That would be the best thing listeners could do for us.
That's a great word, Travis. I want to thank you for that. And I've been talking with Travis Kearns, who along with his wife serve as Southern Baptist North American missionaries as SEND North America coordinator for Salt Lake City, Utah. Travis, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Watt.
For more information on SEND North America for Salt Lake City, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
You'll find the name Fanny Crosby in many hymn books, but there are so many more songs from her that never got that far. Let's get the story now from Life with Purpose Radio's Myrna Brown.
Our next guest doesn't sing, play an instrument. He even jokes he's not even much of a hummer. But Stephen Kelly has made a remarkable discovery surrounding the lost works of Fanny Crosby.
Yeah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Joining us now on Life with Purpose Radio is Stephen Kelly.
Hi there.
Hello, and thank you for having me on your program.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Stephen, I want to believe everyone knows who Fanny Crosby was, but you know what? Let's not assume. So will you tell us?
She is purported to be, and no one that I have researched would deny, as the country's most prolific hymn writer, having started late in life, dying in 1915, and essentially being the Helen Keller of hymnists, blind from an early age and called by the Lord to devote her craft to honoring His word in the form of lyrics.
And you have found more of her works. The project is called Blessed Assurance, the New Hymns of Fanny Crosby. So just tell us the story. How did you come across, and where were you, and just some of the details?
I did a little bit of research, found various reports that she had written between 3,000 and 8,000, which means nobody knew for sure. Looked at my archive of hymnals and found the same hymns, edition after edition, over generations, with the same hymns in them. And couldn't help but wonder where the remaining archive was, no matter how many there were.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond wondering where they were, wondering why they hadn't been published. With a bit more research, located where they were, and was invited by the archive to fly up and put on the white gloves and discover for myself what the world is just now being introduced to.
How long did it take you to find where you thought that the archives existed?
That's the most amazing thing. They had been in a secure environment since her death in 1915. It took me about a week to find out, and maybe two more weeks to visit the archive. And the mystery there is not that it took so little time to find, but why over those many years wasn't somebody that did sing, that did play, that might have been a worship leader or might have been in the recording industry, seek out one of the world's greatest hymnist works? And therein lies the mystery to me, the old why me, because I am the last person skilled to have these handwritten lyrics in my hand. And you need to know that there were in this archive 2,700 of them, all written by hand, all initialed by Fanny, all dated.
When, you know, mm-hmm. you had the gloves on and you're looking, you know, down at her penmanship, and how did that feel?
But for her signature or her initials and being blind, it's apparent that she was not the person writing the lyrics, and she was dictating them. The archivist brought one manila folder out and opened it up, and there were a half a dozen songs. Shortly thereafter, a half a dozen or so large library carts were wheeled out with transfile after transfile of more songs written on faded legal paper, the back of envelopes, the back of invoices. Getting into probably the third or fourth hymn, and my tears started to well up. And it was a combination of touching something that nobody had either touched or touched with any real interest, and perhaps in some cases the last person to touch it after Fanny. And next to realize that those words had been given to her by the Lord was the most phenomenal experience in my life.
All is well, for Thou art near. Gracious Lord, Thy voice I hear.
Tell us about some of the songs and the voices that we hear behind them.
Perhaps the most notable among all of the artists on a nationwide level would be Ricky Skaggs.
By Your sweet light,
no one like Jesus my troubles can see. No one can feel them so keenly as He.
Within the contemporary Christian genre, And for your listeners, perhaps the most notable would be Michael W. Smith.
Answer our prayers.
You will be the song we sing now and for eternity.
Darlene Check, the Blind Boys of Alabama, have a wonderful contribution to it.
Mm-hmm. Where else can we lay these heavy burdens?
But as an encouragement to your audience and an audience beyond your network on taking the opportunity and the time to pursue something that they can't do without God and wondering what that might mean.
Wow, that I was going to say, that is the question that we all should be asking. Stephen Kelly, the project is Blessed Assurance, the new hymns of Fanny Crosby. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona for today's missionary moment here on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's 8:47 a.m. We've arrived a little bit early, get everything set up. And there's always something to do, and we won't get it all done between now and 10 o'clock. Clearly a little bit nervous, but we're ready to go.
That one's not Mike.
Churches can't plant without help.
And great churches like First Baptist Church McKinney, North Phoenix Baptist Church in Phoenix, Lake Point Church in Rockwall said, we'll help you.
This morning, we're unloading things. We're getting everything set up for the service. Just helping wherever there's a need.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, we've been so blessed by this day. Yes, we've been looking forward, praying. But I'm going to tell you, the people here have really sowed the seeds.
We have our little ones here, and then our older kids over there.
You know, it was amazing to watch as people began to arrive.
Hey, good morning.
We had tons of folks here.
It is my joy to give you a personal welcome to Wellspring Church.
The West Valley of Phoenix, thriving, growing, it is new. You and I need water. We had a huge expectation living up to this day, and I couldn't be more excited. Out of 300 chairs, we probably had 50 empty ones. So we had a good crowd today.
Jesus declared, believe me,
being a church planter is the hardest work I've ever done and the most rewarding.
Hey, good morning. Tell me your names.
I prayed when I was 19 years old to be part of revival in America.
Judd, Crystal, pleasure to meet you.
My hope 2 years to 20 years from now would be not only this church, but others that would be birthed from us and other kingdom works in the valley would be thriving, that salvation of souls would occur. Could be fruitfulness and revival in this great city.
Bless you. Thank you for coming today.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com. That's lifewithpurposeradio.com. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. And we hope you've been inspired to live your life with purpose as you heard Backpack for Appalachia, the faith story of Todd Huffman, Travis Kearns in Salt Lake City, Blessed Assurance from Stephen Kelly, and Chris Stull with Wellspring Church in Arizona. See you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and check out lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.